quench not the Spirit. We read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Don't turn there. That's just a one-liner. And it's ever so important. Because what Spirit is it talking about? Don't try to extinguish the Holy Spirit. Especially if you're one of God's elect, because you're bordering there on the unpardonable sin. So it becomes really quite important that you know and understand. The word in the Greek is benuni, and it means exactly that, going out. We'll be talking about the ten virgins and their little lamps that they have benuni. They were extinguished, quenched, because those five, the unwise, were quenching the Holy Spirit. Won't work. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to pick it up with verse 15. The Pharisees are trying to find a way. They're parleying over in the corner. How to kill Christ. How to destroy Him. And He, knowing that, has a message for you when people try this. When they try to quench the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He has a message for you. Let's cover it. And it reads in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, as they're plotting to kill Him. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from thence, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. This is why they were upset. This is why they wanted to get rid of Him. Not because He was doing a bad work, but because He was doing a good work upon the people. Bad people do that. That's the way they are. Verse 16, and they charged them that they should not make Him known. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, that's to say Isaiah, the prophet, saying what? Verse 18, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, this is the Father speaking of the Son. Where those two are, you always have the Holy Spirit, so you have the triune Godhead there, making this very important, what's about to happen. What Jesus is normal is going to do, he's going to take this saying and say, when bodies are broken, when lives go bad, I can fix them. I can do it so gently when they ask me that if it was I could trim a wick and not quench the flame of the light and leave it burning. In other words, I can fix people with broken hearts. That's what I'm going to do. That's my purpose. And that's the meaning of this particular event that's about to transpire. That's why he came, and not only for Israel, but for the Gentiles. He declares it coming out the gate. Verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He'll go right downtown, right into the church, and make his declarations. 20, this is where you can count on him healing broken hearts. Listen carefully. A bruised reed shall he not break. You know, when a reed breaks over, it's just barely hanging on. Sometimes in your lifetime, you think you're just barely hanging on. Everything's going to pot. You just can't quite get it together. He can fix that reed without breaking it. Okay. And as it is said, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Many of you don't know the old wicks that we had in lamps, and the wicks would kind of char and burn a little bit, and you had to trim it off on the top to get it to burn real bright, okay, real light. And I've actually done school homework by a light like that. What he's saying is, when your light is so dim that you think you're not affecting anyone, when you think it's all going downhill for you, I can trim your light and brighten it up without ever quenching the flame, without ever putting it out. That's our word, okay, as it is written there. And the smoking flax shall he not quench. And so it is. Till he send forth judgment unto victory. He's going to stay with us until we conquer all the evil. All power given to him by Almighty God. And the wickedness is going down. Now, don't you miss out on his healing abilities and his ability to brighten your life and to uplift your life. Just don't try to smother the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Give yourself to him. Let him know you love him. That's all he requires from you, is to follow his orders and to love him. That's not asking much. Because his orders indeed keep you out of trouble, whereby you do not get your life in a fix, a broken heart, a wick that needs treated. When following his commandments, the commandments are good. They keep us out of trouble. When we break one, we're gonna pay the price, okay? You're gonna have trouble. But he's with us until the victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And you want to always remember, when he quotes an Old Testament saying, there's a lot more in the Old Testament about it. So you want to go there, and you want to pick up on it, because what did he mean by this? There's a lot more to it. Where is it written? Well, who did he say? He said Esaias, which is Isaiah. And what he's talking about is Isaiah chapter 42. Let us turn there. That's what he was quoting. Isaiah chapter 42. To get the full meaning of what it was that Christ was talking about. And we find there again, never quench the Holy Spirit. Never try to extinguish it. Never try to go against God. You can't win that way. And it's bad trouble. Verse 1 of chapter 42, listen carefully. Behold my servant. This is God speaking, and he's talking about Christ. So we have the Father and the Son here. Don't overlook that. Whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit. Now answer yourself, what spirit is that? The Holy Spirit. So in this one verse, as I forementioned from Matthew, you have the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. You have the triune Godhead in this one verse. My Spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentile. That's his business, is bringing forth judgment. What does that mean? Let's break it down. It means to justify everything. When you go against a neighbor, he's going to justify it. What does that mean? You're going to get your gourd thumped. Okay? He will see to it. Everything that goes around comes around. You always get what you deserve. But you don't understand, brother. People pick on me. Well, you poor baby. You know, use a little common sense and rise up above it. Okay? You know, don't feel, you know, God doesn't, you listen to people, you take advice from wrong people, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be a poor me baby in trouble. But who should I listen? Listen to your Father. He sent you this letter wanting you to absorb it, to keep you out of trouble, and promises he will keep you out of trouble if you'll just listen to him. Okay. Verse 2. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. When he was crucified, he didn't even open his mouth. Okay. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto the truth. Always. Truth is such a powerful thing. When you possess it, you have the ability to overcome this world. That's what truth will do for you, and that's how important it is, of who our Father is, who he sent to save us, who he sent to keep us out of trouble, and who's lurking out there to grab you if you allow it. Okay. Verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. In other words, people want discipline. They crave it. They want it. You cannot be a happy, content person with peace of mind without discipline in your life. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, to them that walk therein. He's all-encompassing. He's your Father. I mean, He's closer to you than your earthly father. He's the creator of your very soul that instilled the Spirit, your Spirit, within you to love His Spirit, which He made available to you. This is why He wanted you to come here and cover the rest of His thoughts here, because He meant it as they were plotting to destroy Him so that you would have the truth. He declares His mission, and He always accomplishes His mission. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. He is our light. He's the light to the world. And God, Emmanuel, God with us. Not only does He hold the hand of the Lord, being the Lord, but He holds your hand also. He'll always be with you when you're doing His work. When you love Him, you're His child. He takes care of His children. Big time. Verse 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And He did this. This goes a lot deeper than is on the surface for most. It is true that He gave sight to some that were physically blind, but He gave sight to a lot more that were spiritually blind, and does to this day. People that can't see the truth for the sorrows of this world that's in their eye. They can't see this truth. And when they believe Him, He can take that reed. He can straighten it, touch it, and heal it. He can take that smoking wax, and He can trim it, and give it new life and new light without one little quench of the flame. It keeps bright. It keeps going. Now let's take it one step deeper. What did He do while He was in the tomb? It's written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Don't go there. Let me just tell you. Make a note and you can go there later if you want to. While He was in the tomb, He went to paradise where all the people were there all the way back to the time of Noah, which means the beginning. And He preached them the same message He preaches you in this chapter, that believe upon Him and you're free. Believe upon Him and He will give you salvation. And not only did He preach those prisoners, but you'll read in verse chapter 4 of 1 Peter, chapter 4, that He freed a lot of them. Why? They believed Him. This again is God's righteousness. He would never allow the people that died before Christ's crucifixion to not have the same benefit of salvation that you do today. That would be very unfair. Let's say if people that were in Nebuchadnezzar's time had to depend on their very life without salvation to make it to the top, to salvation. He gave it to them. Why? Because He's a loving God. He's a true Father. Those are the prisoners He went to. Now, that lets you know how totally, completely upright and fair our Father is. So when your little life gets all tangled up and you think you have problems, you better talk to Him. Let him know you need fixing. Okay. Let him know you love him most foremost. And let him lead you and guide you. He sent you this letter telling you how to accomplish it. If you read it, you got around to reading it, it's just full of advice. Some people will pay $90 an hour. Well, 90, that won't even cut it anymore for some shrink. And a good Christian shrink is all, I'm not going to knock them. Some of them are not Christian, and they're just that. They're shrinks. The only thing they're going to shrink is your wallet. Okay? Okay. When you've got the best advice in the world for free right here, he paid the price for you to have it. Okay. And so it is that our Father continues on. And he is that light, and he does release those prisoners. There are no favorites with our Father. He chose the election because they earned it. He loves all of his children. And if you read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, it's God's will, his hope, that all people come to repentance. They won't, but he wants them to. Why? They're his children. But a lot of them won't. Why? They're too stubborn, too self-willed. Verse 8, I am the Lord. I'm Yahweh. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. I'm not going to share it with the Antichrist or some false god. Neither my praise to graven images. It's not going to happen. Look at me, he's saying. Hang with me. I'm fair and I'm just. Don't let somebody snow you or lead you astray. Verse 9, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things come to pass. And new things do I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Let that sink in. Through prophecy, I'm going to tell you what tomorrow brings, where you're not deceived. It's in his letter. Have you read it? It lets you know why he would mention the Antichrist. It lets you know why he would not give his name to another. Who are we talking about here? Who is his beloved? Christ. Not going to give it to Antichrist. Okay. Not going to let some fake slip in. If you have the truth in your mind, you know you have an obligation and a duty to stand against him. And not only that, you know how to get it done. Why? The letter tells you, step by step, just as he promised, I foretell you all things. That's a beautiful thing in this troubled world, to have the truth, to hang on to that truth, and to share it in your life, and not only that, but to let it rub off on others. They see it. It's catching. And it's a comfort to a troubled, mixed up, lost world for someone to see the stability that you have in the Lord. He tells us, foretells us those things. 10, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praises from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. That's the whole world. Let that word get around. Take it around the world. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit. That's Arabia. That's all the Arab nations. That's Ishmael, one of Ishmael's children. Okay, the Arabs will come to it. Those that will. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. And let them shout from the top of the mountains, the nations. 12, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Let it be spread worldwide. It's going to, beloved. We're coming to that time. You want to be very careful. And what did God appoint you as a watchman? Of course. What are you supposed to watch? Well, the things he foretells you of. The Word. You're a watchman? Watch. You're in crucial times. But it's nothing we can't handle. He takes those broken hearts, even from the political situations, and he heals them, guides you, directs you. What I'm telling you is, you have nothing to worry about. Nothing. Well, why is that? Because he's your Father. And he takes care of his own when they take care of him. Verse 13, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies, not if, not perhaps, will. 14, I have long time holding my peace. I have been still. That means patience. And refrain myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. What is it? It's the birth of a new age. When a woman travails, she's bringing birth forth. And it's the birth of a new age, and he's going to do it. And you are blessed enough to live in that time. How precious it is. Our Father, you really have to love him for the patience he has. Man, there's a lot of times if I had been the Father, talk about thumping gourds. Man, but he wants everybody to have that opportunity to find out maybe the hard way from knocks and being downtrodden to know that he's there. But the time will come. And that's what he's talking about here, the birth of a new age. 15, I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. In other words, in Revelation 21:1, we're going to refix this earth. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. This is why Christ quoted this very scripture, so that you would come here and comfort yourselves in his word and not try to quench the spirit, not try to quench the truth, but be armed with it, knowing it is what sets you free from the anxiety and the imprisonment of deception, of false Christ, false teachings, false leadership in this end generation. 17, they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust the engraven images. They say to the molded images, you are gods. They're not. Okay. But anyone that would say that is one absolutely lost soul that would turn to an image and say that. I want you to turn now, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. We just completed teaching this Matthew 25, and it leaves much of this fresh in our minds. You're all familiar with the 10 virgins. 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. Not only were they foolish, they were very foolish because they lacked something. What did they lack? They lacked truth. Oil, which is the oil of our people, olive oil, is symbolic of that truth. Do you know what the olive tree is in the Hebrew tongue? It's Eliyah, the sacred name itself of Almighty God. How beautiful it is. Let's go with this. This happens in the 12th hour. It's leading up to that 12th hour, which is the wedding. Chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, what is this now? What is the way the king and his dominion is going to be brought in? It'll be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. I mean, these are Christians and believers right after the wedding. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. You've always got a percentage. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They had no reservoir. Okay. You've got to have a reservoir of truth in your mind whereby God's word will lead you and strengthen you. Verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Vessels is a reservoir. Okay. It's an extra supply of truth from God's Word, always prepared, always able. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. You know, and you're going to be real careful because you're going to have people today that are going to tell you, it ain't going to happen. Everything's been the same as years go on and time goes on. Do you realize I'm quoting from 2 Peter chapter 3 where God said, don't listen to idiots. It is going to happen. Okay. Verse 6. And at midnight, here you're all the way to the last hour, the seventh trump is sounding, Christ is coming. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. This is what happened. 7. Then all these virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Do you know what this word gone is in the Hebrew, the Greek tongue? It's benina, which is to say, quenched. It's quitness. It's playing out. You want to have plenty of oil in your lamp, my friend. It's truth from God's Word to lead you and direct you. You know, isn't it kind of a shame he promised in Isaiah 42 he would always foretell you if you would get into his letter, if you'll talk to him and lead you, he will always tell you what the future brings so you're prepared for it. You know, most people are pretty intelligent. You know if you're going down the road, there's going to be a big stump there. You're either going to plan on how you're going to go over it, to this side of it or that side, or you're going to push it right out of the way, or you're going to burn it. In other words, we plan ahead. And when you know what is down the road from you and what you have to contend with, you can cut it. In other words, man only fears the unknown. Well, let me ask you a question. What would you be afraid of if God's going to foretell you everything anyway? There's not going to be any unknown. You're going to know if you love him, if you follow him, if you've covered the letter, therefore you have nothing to fear other than to obey, to love him, and let that flame, you know, we just finished that lecture at Passover, kindle the flame. Don't quench it, kindle it, and let that flame shine, let it be bright. Follow him. And know that we are in that time. Well, they were just out of stuff. Okay, there they sit. Okay, they're in bad shape. And verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Now, stop and think a moment. You're at the seventh trump. What happened back at the beginning of the sixth trump? The Antichrist appeared. Before you can buy and sell, what do you have to do? You got to worship him before you can buy and sell oil downtown. Okay. Too late, Charlie. You know, you should have been supplied before the sixth trump came to pass. So what it means is those five are going to have to pay allegiance to Satan himself as the false Christ before they can get any oil. And I'm sorry, it's the wrong kind of oil. Okay. It's not that beautiful olive oil. It's filth that he'll put in your lamp. Okay. Then you'll better understand why Christ said the following. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's final. After came also the other virgins saying, "Oh Lord, Lord, open to us." And they're going to be screaming and saying, "We've been speaking in tongues, we've been casting out demons, we've been healing in your name." As it's written in another place. Verse 12, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And so it is, my friend, that you have to know and understand the letter. You don't want to be caught short on oil, which is symbolic of truth. You want to study that word in the simplicity in which it is written. You know, it is not required that any one person be able to rememorize the whole Word of God. Just the part that pertains to you and the coming of the false Messiah and your standing against Him. Well, what am I going to say? You're not supposed to say anything. The Holy Spirit, unless you quench it, is supposed to speak through you. And were you to prevent it from speaking through you, as it is written in Luke 12, verse 10, that's the unpardonable sin for God's elect. Ignorant people couldn't commit it coming out the gate. They don't know enough to commit it. But you do in the simplicity that Christ teaches. How precious it is. Never, never quench the Spirit of Almighty God. Hebrews chapter 11, we got two verses I want to cover there. This gives us another very important part of God's Word, and that's faith. This is the faith chapter. It's your deed to your spot in heaven, quite frankly. It's your faith. It's a written deed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. He's gone through quite a list of people and what faith has done for them, and he's in conclusion bringing this summation to the event, and it's very important. You want to listen to it. This brings in with the Spirit faith. Okay. Verse 32. But what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon what faith did for him, putting the fleece up to God and so forth, and Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, what faith did for them, on and on. It goes how beautiful faith treats one. When you have faith in God, He will never let you down. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. I don't know, do you practice faith? You know, truth is kind of the keys to the kingdom, but faith and love is what opens the door. Okay, that's an old song. And so it is, because when you love the Father, He'll see your faith. All right, and by that, verse 34, quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens, and not only that, they overcame. Now, how do you accomplish this? It's written. He tells you what it is you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to accomplish it, what you're supposed to do. And he kind of, there's one little chapter in this letter that he sent to you that kind of sums it up, kind of gives you the whole thing. What you're going to be fighting against, and what you're going to have to win. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 in conclusion. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to pick it up with verse 10. Who is your enemy? How do you prepare yourself? What are you going to do? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. There's no other way you can be. And in the power of His might, not yours, in His, because He strengthens you. Do you know something? He can take a little church in Northwest Arkansas that has no strength at all on its own, and yet at the same time He can reach down and touch, and a ministry can be formed over a period of years that goes around the world, and millions listen. It's His strength, His power. Do you know why? Because you're in the end times. Reach for His power and hang on to it. Okay. 11, put on the whole armor of God. Well, why do you need armor? We're going to fight. Okay. It's a spiritual war. Understand how it goes down. Now listen carefully. That you may be able to stand against the wiles, that's the deceit, the deception of the devil. Even the entity at whom you're going to fight against. And you know something, you're going to win. Well, you mean to tell me the little person like myself can defeat Satan with the Holy Spirit in you? Absolutely, it's promised. No step for a stepper, my friend. That's called faith. But He's going to tell you how to do it. What is it you wrestle with? 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This isn't a flesh and blood thing. But against principalities. Against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world. Well, who's that? The prince of darkness is who? It's the devil. Okay. It's Satan. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual war. Now, it can tear you up, it can eat you alive, if you don't know how to handle it. Or you can use His power and overcome any wickedness. Well, how is that? Because they're afraid of you when you're in His power. They'll run from you. They want nothing to do with you. They don't want you to even touch them because they're afraid of you. That's when you have the gospel armor on and in place. You don't play games with that, because if you haven't got it on, I guarantee you what will happen to you. It will not be pretty. You don't play church. You either are or you're not. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. It's coming. And having done all, to stand. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to fly. No, it says stand, and that's exactly what it means. You have an obligation and a duty. 14, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's your belt. That holds your breeches up, okay? Truth holds your breeches up. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that's justification of doing what's right. 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You be ready to march. You be ready to take that forward when God lets you know it's the moment. Verse 16, above all. You know what above all means? This is most important. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, which is to say, Satan. Do you understand that with that, you can put his fire out? He has no power against you when you have God's power in you. Beloved, these are very important scriptures for this generation. Do not take them lightly. They're wonderful. They're powerful. And you need to accept them. You need to enjoy them. They should be a comfort to you. Because those fiery darts are going to come. It should not hurt you one iota when the Holy Spirit speaks through you. 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What's this sword of the Spirit? Which is the Word of God. man, does it cut both ways, you know. It'll take lies and cut them to slivers when truth comes forward. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, don't quench it, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, doing what? 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's the whole truth, beloved. That's why you put the gospel armor on and in place. It's not to fight against an earthly army, but against Satan when he comes as the false Messiah, to stand against him and defeat him. He does not win. We have that victory. And we thank our Father for his written word. Quench not the Spirit. God's elect must depend on that Spirit. That is our strength. And as it is written in Psalms 144, the prayer is that God gives us strength to war and strength to fight in that battle, as any other battle that's put upon us in this world. A lot of people say, well, God wouldn't have anything. Oh, yes, God wants you to be a good soldier. And he represents that when it comes to protecting his children, that is his base camp in this world, to bring forth that truth. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we have a nation that has to guarantee our right of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, as well as many other freedoms that we have. Don't ever fail to use them. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for each of these souls. Use them, Father. Let them be a blessing to all they come in contact. There is no